So Nina and Phil, how did Healthy Junkies get its start?
So we met at a gig when Phil was in a different band, and I basically really liked his work on the guitar. And
she stole me.
And I stole him, yes.
So basically took him from another band.
Yeah, I mean, I was in another band as well, but you know how things goes with musicians. That's how you meet musicians, really.
Well, actually, we didn't manage to write anything for a while. We couldn't seem to connect on or agree on whatever we were to write about. And then one day, it was a friend's birthday, she was ill, and we decided to put our egos aside and do this thing for her. And once we'd done that one song called Glam Sister, it just rolled from there.
We never stopped after that,
Okay. Now, is the band officially just you two, or are there others?
We've got two other members in the band. There's a drummer, Tony, a bass player, Dave. So we've had different lineup changes, but we've been consistent all the way through. But at the moment, yeah, we've got a great lineup, so it's a four-piece.
Okay. And are you two a couple as well, or partners, or you are?
Unfortunately.
Well, what's that like? That's the reason I ask, because what's that like being a couple and being in the same band?
Yeah, I mean, as long as there's more good than bad.
It means that we've got this common ground of this aim for the music, which keeps us, binds us together, and it brings us kind of turmoil, which comes out, we think, in the music, probably.
Yeah, basically you need drama in order to create, you
know. Boy, we have drama, don't we?
So, I mean, like, do you guys, like, is it hard to not, like, blend personal and professional stuff? Like at band practice, do you guys, like, you know, have you ever, like, well, you didn't do the dishes last night, so I don't have to listen to you, you know?
I think it comes out more when we're on tour. Because when we're on tour, we're together for, like, a long period of time, and the other members have to put up with our couple, you know, arguments and things. But when we're on rehearsal, or when we're, like, you know, recording and thing, I think we keep it together. We're quite professional, but it's more...
In the early days, it was worse with our different lineup, and there was a lot of tension in the band anyway, and that just triggered our own tension, so it was a massive chaos. We still have the chaos. That's the name of the new album, Box of Chaos. But we've sort of got a level now where we can actually function on a professional level most of the time.
So
it's not like Ike and Tina or anything like that, where the rest of the band's just shocked and awed whenever you guys fist fight or anything.
It was a bit like that at one point. I remember when all sorts of stuff was happening, you know. But we haven't had a major. We've fallen out just before playing, but actually, what's happened with that and the couple of times that we've done that is that the performance is just really edgy.
It was better,
and
yeah.
And she kind of worked in our favour.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we try and bring a positive out of the negative where we can.
Nice. Now, how would you describe your sound? Because I just heard the song Watch Out, which came out on on December 15th, and it's got, like, a nice... I mean, like, I don't know how else to describe it. It's got, it's like a 3 minute, 52 second hook. You know, it's like one continuous hook. And being a guitarist myself, I love that distorted tone that you guys have in that particular song. And, you know, with the phase or flanger effect on it.
Yeah, that's a synth wah. But yeah, I mean, that song's a little bit slower than what we normally do, but we kind of felt with the lyrical content of that one, we wanted to get that one out. A lot of the stuff is very punk influenced because we've played alongside a lot of punk bands over the last few years.
But it's always hard to say what it is because we've got so many influences. Grunge, glam.
Goth in there, bit of psychedelic. Goth.
So I think, I guess it's kind of modern grunge and punk kind of
it's
thing.
It's a right old mix up, really,
isn't
it?
Yeah.
Nice. Now, Phil, you're the main guitarist, right?
Yeah, it's just one guitar and a bass guitar.
Okay. I see, I'm a guitarist myself, so I got to ask the obligatory question. What's your gear?
Okay, I use a Gibson SG. Okay. And I use a Marshall JCM-800.
Nice.
And a few Boss pedals, and that's my thing.
Nice, man. The 800, man. That's one of the amps that started it all.
What about you? What do you use?
Right now, I'm using an EVH setup. I've got a few guitars. Like, I've got a Les Paul, a few Strats, but then my amp is an EVH 5150. So
I would love to get a Telecaster. I've been thinking about that for a Fender Telecaster. Just I had a Strat, but I didn't really get on with it. But the Tele, I fancy.
Oh yeah, I love Fenders because I mean they're basically like tanks. You could like drop them down the stairs and they'll stay in tune. You know, I mean, but the Tele's an awesome guitar. I used to have one. I got rid of it because at the time I needed the money, so I sold it to a friend. But and I regretted it ever since.
That's exactly what I did, to put the money down on a deposit for a flat to move. I sold my Fender Strat special anniversary for just nothing, and yeah, never mind.
Yeah, exactly. That's the life of a real musician, man. You know, so well. Let's talk about Box of Chaos. If you could take, and I'm asking each of you this separately because I want to see if I get two different answers. If you could take one song off Box of Chaos and then everything else just went into the fire, what would it be and why?
Wow, I think I would take I Don't Give a Damn.
That's what I was going to say.
Sorry.
Damn you.
Yeah, I would, because it's a, you know, kind of full-on punk song in your face, a bit reminiscent of the Sex Pistols, and I would definitely pick that one because I think we need a bit more of that, you know, those days with all the X Factor and all those, you know, TV reality programs, and, you know, maybe a bit more of that would be good, you know?
All right, I will pick another one. We've got a song called Hypocrites, just over a minute long. It's full-on punk rock. And the way Nina just screams, you're such a hypocrite, you're such a beep hypocrite, in your face, constantly, for a minute. I love that.
It's almost like a jingle, you know, it's a hate jingle or something.
Yeah, it's a hate song as opposed to a love song.
Nice. Now, I'm a punk, you know, fan myself. I got into it in the 80s when I was a little kid because of my cousins. But there are, you know, a lot of people don't realize there are two punk movements. And which would you feel that you're closer with? I know you're in London, but there's the London British sound and then there's the New York sound. Which do you feel closer to and why?
The London, aren't we? We played with so many of the 70s bands. You know, we've been influenced by the UK Subs, playing with them, and GBH, Vice Squad, you know, Sham 69, and et cetera, and you can't help but be influenced, inspired by being around all those people. And they're all still going. The crowds still go out. They're dedicated. So that UK punk for us,
I'd say. Oh, they come out and you've got a club night called Punk and Roll Rendezvous.
That's right. Yeah.
Let's talk about that, because obviously that is geared towards the London sound. What? Okay, if I were to go over there and to the next event, what would I see?
The next one's actually our album launch, isn't it? Our launch party.
Yeah.
Basically, what the idea is we always have one band from out of town, so Manchester, Liverpool, wherever, Birmingham, and London bands, the rest of the bill, and we have a DJ. And Nina has promoted that, especially at the beginning. She's put an unhealthy amount of hours into promoting it, sending personal messages to people. And as a result, that night has a following of its own. And we've met bands from all over the UK, and they ask us back. So then you get this national connection going. And, yeah, it's just great. I mean, you'd come down, you'd have a bunch of alternative people, be a mosh pit.
And it's also a good alternative for if you don't want to work with local promoters in London who just rip bands off, really.
It was £8 on the door, mixed match of bills, putting a Lady Gaga band with a metal band with a rap or whatever.
Yeah.
Trying to do it 7 days a week and it just doesn't work.
But those people call themselves promoters, but they're just bookers, really, because they don't do any of the promotion and they don't pay the band, so it's kind of good to put your own light on and say, you know, you can do it yourself and better.
And every band stays and supports everybody else. So it's everyone has connections within the band. So you have a community then. And that's what we want, you know, it's part of a scene.
Mm-hmm. Do you think maybe some promoters do that not because they see what genre each act is in, but because it comes down to who can I get for the cheapest on that night?
They're trying to put six bands on a bill and they're trying to do it like 5 days a week at a venue. They're going to be struggling to get the you know, get these. We do it once a month, and that's hard enough to get that going. You know, so I mean, it's just probably, and it's a business idea. They have people working for them, and it's. I mean, obviously, sometimes that works, but there's a lot of times we've come across that it just doesn't work.
Yeah, it's quantity versus quality for some people.
£8 on the door, trying to get people in. You know, it's just it's crazy.
Man, £8, that's like $14, man.
It's just a pub gig or something, you know? And it's like
unknown bands.
The bands that nobody knows. And who's going to pay £8 to go and see? Our entry is free. It's a free entry night. And then there's money from the bar taking split between the bands. And you sell your merch.
Yeah. Yeah.
We do.
Well, for $14, I mean, I'd expect dollar beers after that or something.
Free beers, sorts of free beers.
Exactly, man. So, do you guys plan on going on tour after the Box of Chaos album is released?
What have we got coming? We've got quite a few little festivals and one-off gigs.
We'd like to go on tour, though, UK tour, maybe in Europe, France, Germany.
Also, back to America. We were in New York in October, and we played on Real Radio, the guy from Twisted Sister, Mark, and Henry Kay, and we went over there, did some songs, met some people, and we were really excited about being over there. Everyone was really positive. We want to go back there. So if you know anyone who can help us put that together, we want to tour the East Coast.
Definitely. What about Chicago?
Yeah, definitely.
I think you guys would go. I think you guys would go good here too. I mean, because you've got almost kind of a, you know, like a retro punk feel, and that's on its way back here.
I mean, in terms of East Coast bands influences, we love Sonic Youth and Iggy Pop's East Coast, isn't it? Yeah.
New York Sonic Dolls?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Johnny Fender.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and you know, and so you know what I was talking about New York versus London on the punk scene, because you know you've got you know the UK Subs and Sex Pistols, of course. You have to always mention the Sex Pistols and the the Clash and everything. And then over here you've got New York Dolls, the Stooges, Television, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, it's all relevant, you know. And now, with it being almost a nostalgic feel, those two sounds. Do you think punk is lost or kept its relevance through it all?
I think it's still there, but I think it needs to be reinvented, because, you know, I don't think it's going to go anywhere if we just keep on going through the motion. And it needs to be you know, renewed in a way. I mean, Green Day. Not my favorite band, but they kind of did that, you know.
Nirvana
did that.
It's a long time ago now. But.
And I think, you know, if it was like punk, but with a new element into it, maybe it would, you know, be better. But.
Yeah, because it has evolved, and it's been a steady evolution. It hasn't been in surges, because if you notice, it comes up to the mainstream every once in a while, but it consistently stays underground. And you've got all sorts of subgenres, like you've got ska, punk, skate punk, so on and so forth. So and you know, and then you've got the classics, and Sonic Youth being one of them as well. But I like, because I remember John Lydon on an interview a long time ago saying when he realized. When he joined Public Image Limited, he made it as unpunk as he could, because he realized that punk was now becoming the mainstream when he started seeing Sid Vicious on T-shirts.
Mm. We love Public Image Limited. We've got pretty much all their albums. I love the sound, you know, the dub influence that he put into his sound.
He's always going to be a legend to me. He's a bit cocky, but he kind of earned it. Well, where can we find you guys online?
We've got Reverb Nation.
Reverb Nation / Healthy Junkies.
We got a website,
healthyjunkies.co.uk,
and a Facebook page.
Which is Facebook Healthy Junkies Band with Facebook. But if you Google, people Google us, they can find, you know, they can find us easily.
Maybe they'll find a Californian restaurant.
Oh, there is a health restaurant that's set up in California. They nicked our name. Healthy Junkies, but you know.
Yeah, so if anybody wants to firebomb it, don't reference this interview. So, well, thank you for being on the show today. I really appreciate it, Phil and Nina. You guys are really good. I really love what you're doing. Box of Chaos comes out on the 20th, and let us hear it when it comes out, and we'll review it for you.
Okay, we'll get you a copy for sure. And we'll be in touch about coming over, because we really would love to come back to the States and do some gigs this time. And, you know, so we'll be in touch.